In harmony with the tradition of the Los Angeles Ecclesia, the chairman of the class usually gives the opening address for our convention. And so at this time, we're going to have our brother Nakora speak to us to welcome us at this time.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. Your presence, the unseen presence of our Lord, and the illumination of God's Holy Spirit will transform this place from something ordinary into something most extraordinary. There's a wonderful sentiment in the 122nd Psalm. And in the opening verse, the psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We of the local Los Angeles Ecclesia are glad that we can be here in the house of the Lord. We're glad that you all could join us here. For the next 3 days, this place will be where we will be educated. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, Paul described his education. And he described it this way. This is the third verse of Acts 22. The translation from the Greek is by Moffat. And Paul, referring to himself, says, "I am a Jew. I was born at Tarsus in Cilicia, but I was brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel in all the strictness of our ancestral law." Sitting at the feet of a great leader was the best way to get an education in Paul's day. In fact, in our own country, at the most prestigious schools, it's still the best way to get an education. We also have a great leader at whose feet we gather for our education. In Luke, the 10th chapter, we hear about that. And it is a verse that refers to a woman, to Mary. Luke 10:39 says, "Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word." Now, there were pressures on Mary, particularly from her sister Martha, to do some other things. Now, indeed, there are pressures on all of us to busy ourselves in temporal affairs. But now is the time to put all of those temporal affairs out of your mind. Now is the time to prepare ourselves to hear the word of the Lord through his servants. Not everybody is so fortunate. In that same 10th chapter, when we read about Mary in the 39th verse, it is earlier in the chapter, in the 23rd verse of Luke 10, that Jesus turns to his disciples and he said to them, and he said it privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see." We all here see God's marvelous plan of salvation in much the same way. Otherwise, we would not be here. We may differ about the details. Some of what we hear from this platform may be expressed a little differently than we've heard it before. Some lessons may be too deep to follow everything that's said. But our assignment is to learn what we can so that when we go forth from this place, we might show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His most marvelous light. In the fourth chapter of Acts, we hear an appraisal of Peter and John. In the 13th verse of Acts 4, it says, "When they," the people, especially the scribes and Pharisees, "saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned, they were ignorant men, and they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus." What does the world think of us? Well, none of us are geniuses. None of us has done great things of which we can boast. None of us can put ourselves forward as sterling examples of perfection. But we do have one great sterling example of perfection, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived, who died, who was raised by His Father to newness of life as a divine being. Jesus is the one we want the world to see. Let it be said of each one of us by those not a part of our fellowship, he or she has been with Jesus and learned of Him. In Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 15, Paul writes in this letter, "And how shall they preach except that they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." This text describes each one of the footstep followers of the Master throughout the Gospel Age. The preaching of glad tidings, especially the glad tidings of the kingdom, should be a welcome message to all who hear it. And it is a message that reflects very favorably upon the messenger. In Psalm 135, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name." During these days, when we abide in the house of the Lord, may we all learn our needed spiritual lessons and sing praises unto His name.